Okay, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, February 10th, 2014, and at 6:30 p.m. Would you please take a minute to review the minutes from the January 27th meeting, which was rescheduled to January 29th, and let me know if they meet your approval.
I read those before I came here, and they look good to me.
They're good to you, Drew?
I agree with the minutes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Then the first order of business will be Amendment 29 to the Owner-Architect Agreement with FGM Architects. We have been in an agreement, or we have been in a contractual agreement with FGM Architects for a number of years, even a couple of years prior to my arrival. Every year there's a set of amendments that the administration brings forward to the Finance Committee, from the Finance Committee ultimately to the Board for approval. And this earlier this year, I believe you received Amendments 26, 27, and 28, which had to do with a series of projects that were rolling forward this year. And because of the significant work that's being undertaken with regards to the proposed elementary school additions, we're now bringing you Amendment 29. So you have a brief board report in front of you. You have the contract and various documents associated with that contract attached for your review. Amendment 29 has to deal with the proposed elementary school additions, and there's a brief discussion below in terms of its cost associated with design development, construction documents, competitive bidding, contract administration, and total basic contract administration. And I just saw something in the body of this board report that kind of caught me for a second. It says Amendment 29, but then when I go below and I see the highlighted area, it actually says Amendment 24. So it should be Amendment 29. That's what the amendment would be to this current contract with FGM. So we have design development cost of approximately $187,000, construction documents, and as you know, we've already begun all this work, construction documents of about $394,000, competitive building of $88,000, and contract administration $315,000, for a total estimated cost of $985,000. Now, I will tell you that As I've stated, some of this work has already occurred. We're in the process of doing a lot of the work now. A lot of it will occur during the next fiscal year, 2015, and then more will occur through the following year. So it's not typical that we'll see a line item for $985,000. I'll have to approximate what the cost may be and what will be incurred over the next year. As you know, or may not have known, but one of the items that I budgeted for the budget that was approved in August of 2013, was $400,000 worth of architectural and professional engineering costs. The reason we incorporated $400,000 is we really didn't know where the proposed additions, where that whole project was going to go. So that's what I estimated the cost at this year. Obviously, it's going to be significantly more. And so those proposed changes will be set forth in an additional budget document. Yes, Joe?
And I had asked you two questions. One was, I made one statement and one question, but I want to confirm that this is the budget. These amounts were budgeted in the soft cost that we've seen all along in the 16 classroom edition.
That's correct.
So
it's part of the soft cost. That and then the FQC contract, which you'll be seeing the next finance meeting, at least I hope we get that resolved.
I'll beat that up.
But, yes, those costs are part of
it. Oh, he's right there.
So come on now. Come on.
Yes, those costs are incorporated as part of the overall cost of the proposed additions that we're looking at now.
Okay, and one new question before my other comment that I'm going to make. But their payout request for these fees will be what would normally be, in a draw statement that we're going to see on a monthly basis.
We see a monthly statement from FGM as well as FQC. Those are typically provided to you as part of bills that you may review on a monthly basis.
Right, but so we're going to do that as part of your normal billing process on a day invoice. We're not going to do it on the draw statement of the project.
No, they okay. Do it as a cost incurred over a monthly basis.
Okay.
On a monthly basis.
Okay. Just different than how I usually see it.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Should we see? Should we see that draw statement so we don't get lost in the trees and the regular expense?
Or we don't typically have a draw statement. What you will see is every month you get copies of legal bills, MGM contract bills, and so forth. That is typical of the type of documents that you'll see on a monthly basis.
So, but when we start the project, if it's approved by the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. When you get them, Jack, we're going to get the contractor statement, and we will be doing that on the normal draw statement. But these soft costs usually are on an owner statement in my world, but we won't see them there. We're just going to see them ongoing. Is that
how would you?
I think we're saying the same thing. You're kind of, the question that you're asking is kind of taking the step beyond what Bob saw I could do into the world of construction
and the
draw schedule. So all of that will be on a draw schedule. You'll see, you know, the total amount of contract, the amount this month, the amount remaining, the retention. You'll see all of that. But the professional services side of it is not,
right,
wouldn't
and
be part of our draw schedule.
And typically in a construction project, you see it on an owner statement.
Right.
Which then they submit it to their financial institution or their partners for approval.
Right.
But what we're doing is we're just doing it through our normal invoicing. So you'll be
the design side, yes.
The design side and the management side.
Our stuff will be on the draw schedule.
Our stuff will be on
the draw schedule.
One thing I'd want to make certain that, just on the design side, is that I understand when we're making those payments and they can do this, what percent we're paying for, and maybe they do this already.
They do that already.
Okay. Because this is, you know, typically some of that's going to follow month by month as we're doing the project.
You'll get the FGM bills and it'll say bidding 75% complete or this part 25% complete or whatever. So you'll have a pretty good idea of where they're at with regard to their contract draw on a monthly basis.
Right. Okay. And then my comment that I gave in the email was that, and it's in here as one visit per site per week. You know, I'm going to be a stickler. I'm going to tell you what I want. I think for this contract, it should be open-ended. He's going to be there more than once. We know that. And I don't want it to become a contract issue at any point. Or Ron gets hit by a bus and we have another Ron. And that other Ron, Ron 2, he decides that he's going to live by the contract.
So you would like to see that statement withdrawn or taken out of the contract?
No, it's unlimited.
Unlimited?
That's all I'm asking. I mean, there are architects. We're tied to the hip with them. We need him there. If Jack needs him out there on a Tuesday, he's going to be out there on a Tuesday. He needs him out there on a Wednesday at Lincoln, and it's back-to-back Lincoln. Then my expectation, given we're tied to the hip and we're paying him this, that he's out there when Jack needs him out there.
Okay, I'll see about getting that up.
That makes sense?
I think it's great. It'll be interesting to see the discussion and play out. But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody approaches that with reasonableness.
I agree.
Call them every single day. And
you're not going to do that, though.
No.
I mean, you're professionally not going to do it. You're going to need them to do it on certain times.
But
when
if
you have
we need
a project,
them, we want them.
You want them there. Yes. And I don't want some contract to ever hold them up. And I'm not worried about Ron. It's if it's Ron number
Ron
two.
Ron two.
Yeah, and it's just it's how you review contracts. And this is a 3-year project, 14, 15, and 16. So that's just my request.
Okay.
Thanks.
And I will certainly bring that to Ron's attention. Okay, any more questions on that?
And that those costs are included in the overall budget for this project?
They are included as part of the soft cost of the overall budget for this project, correct. They are not included in the school district budget because when we approved the budget, when you approved the budget back in August, we really didn't know where this was playing out at. At that time, it was still a very general conversation in terms of what we may
but
be doing.
It's embedded in our total cost.
Correct. Okay. That is correct.
So we're not over the budget at all. It's already included.
You're not over your construction budget.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Jack, when we finish up here this evening, we're going to take a couple of minutes too, because the bids came back on Friday, and Jack is going to give us a brief summary in terms of how that whole process worked out and what our costs look like.
Just kind of made me think about a question, another question. Sorry about that. But if the Board of Education does not approve the deal, then we can say we'll stop.
Stop.
And then we'll just be billed for work up to that date.
That's correct. So all the preparatory or anticipatory work has been completed, we would be billed for, we just move on.
Right. And amendment number 29 is voided at that point once we're paid.
We would just compensate them for the time that's been involved in this work.
I want to make sure.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions on the FGM contract? Then the next order of business this evening will be the 2014-15 student fees. This is a recommendation that I bring to the Finance Committee every year about this time. And it'll start here with the Finance Committee, and then we're looking for support to move it on to the board for discussion and ultimately for approval. You have here a brief board report that summarizes the various fees that we assess our families for students enrolled in a system, split between basic fees and activity fees. I reviewed the budget that we presented to the board earlier this year, or August of last year, and we typically budget approximately $235,000 for activity fees, for basic fees, which are essentially registration fees, and then the activity fees. I believe I took a look at the numbers last week. We get about $215,000 a year, and or $220,000 a year worth of registration fees, and the balance is done through activity fees. And then we broke out some of the things that were included in terms of costs that are incurred. Paul asked me to take a look and see if I could find some association between what we might pay for in terms of from basic student activity fees. And so we went to technology and took a look at a couple of those expenditures and Encyclopedia Britannica, World Book Encyclopedia, Brain Pop, e-library, Reading A to Z, Everyday Math. There are literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of worth of subscription or online services that Mike pays for out of his budget, but could be related to student-related functions. And then as far as activity fees go, we estimate these fees at approximately $20,000 a year, and those are really associated with the after-school programs, intramural and interscholastic programs for kids. Joe, I think you had a question on that also, didn't you?
Yeah, my question, is asking you to go pull some data. I'm looking at these fees, and looking for a comparison of, you have the expenses there, so the minute you ask for that, Paul, my mindset, here's the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
What's the expense side, on a cost basis analysis? What is it? Are we on a one-to-one relationship? Looking at it, from the amount of money that the activity fees are, I'm thinking the stipend cost is a lot higher.
Significantly.
You can just look at the number. It's got to be a lot higher.
Yeah, I think I sent you a PDF spreadsheet of what those expenses are, and it's 200 and some odd thousand dollars.
Yeah, it is a tip of the iceberg that these cover.
Yeah, I don't know that I
cover.
Got that.
Okay.
You might have sent it. I might have just had that email.
Yeah, I think I attached it. It's just to give you some idea, a very rough sketches, and I gave it to Paul last year in terms of what are certain program costs that we incur annually. And I think for just a broad range of programs that are housed at the junior high and in some smaller programs at the elementary schools, it was around $235,000 a year that's incurred with districts supporting those programs or those activities, where we receive about $20,000 a year.
Right. Okay. So we're receiving $110,000. So if you said, okay, we need to cover more of these, let's increase it. We need to cover one-to-one, you're increasing to $300.
Yeah.
That's a serious pay-to-play type of situation at $300.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you look at the what is the normal differential for activity fees? I mean, there's one school of thought on basic fees is public education basic fees, should be nil. But activity fees is you're doing activities for it, so that's okay. That's an extracurricular activity, so pay that. But when you have such a wide expense to revenue ratio, what do other people experience? Are they at 50% or are they at 10%? I'm just wondering. I'm not education of Joe Bochensky here, not of trying to change the fee structure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with this fee structure. I'm just trying to get a feel for it.
Well, I'll
from
tell
my
you
previous experience, very similar.
Very similar.
You're not covering the cost of the co-curriculars. You're trying to put a little dent into it, but the district, in my one and only other experience, was the district picked up the vast majority of those costs.
So why are we doing it?
Yeah, so then why do
for the co-curricular?
No, why want the tent? I mean, just
You
know what?
Pick I it think up. It's a good quit.
And it's not somebody used tip of the iceberg. But then,
Well, then you come down to managing the fees. Okay, now if somebody didn't pay their fee, I got to send a late notice, and now I got to do this.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of
piece. Student have his fee paid before he can get on the team, or she can get.
Mm-hmm.
On. You know, and then you're saying, well, our management time of that is $12,000.
I'm just picking it up.
So now we're really, you know, if we get rid of it, we're only net $8,000. I'm just asking. I'm not.
You know, it does help offset some of it. Does it? Obviously doesn't cover the cost for it, but it does help us in the overall budget to be able to say, you know, whatever we brought in, we're able to.
Yeah, and I guess this was probably one of the first things that I think we kind of all sat in as candidates when this thing was brought up. And, you know, I was kind of on Sam brings this up every year.
Yeah.
You know, why do we do this? I mean, so I'm kind of on that fence. I'd rather, if it's a tip of the iceberg, you know, it's a tenth of it. It's an administrative nightmare. I won't say it's an administrative nightmare.
No,
it's administrative work to do. If you, is it worth the, you know, nickel and dime in that I kind of try to do? It's just, you know, $235. Let's just do it for a year.
$235 is. I mean,
$235,000.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
$1 million over 5 years.
Yeah, and we're not going to go down the compounding thing.
We just finished
that.
That's just addition.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if you don't do this, then you're passing it on to the stakeholders, the taxpayers. So there's this minimal usage. It's a usage fee. But the tenth is the activity fee. That's the $20,000 versus all the stipends you pay.
Yeah, right. Generally, this money comes into a general revenue bucket for the district, and it's applied across all programs.
Yeah.
For me to try to associate,
exactly.
You know, $20 with this or $50 with that, we don't follow it to that degree.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that it's a significant sum of money, and if I, as a finance individual, were not to have those funds available, I would have to find another source, or we make reductions, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've been getting closer and closer to our revenue and expenditure summaries over the past several years, and from my perspective, it's a significant source of revenue to the district. So
the other end of the other side of that coin is increase the activities fee, so you're not at 10%,
yeah,
you're at 25%.
So, yeah.
I'm fine with this recommendation. It's just I'm trying to educate myself and continue
sure.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, next year we'll
find. Why are we always on different sides?
Okay, let's start the test, Matt.
That's why
we're
going to
need a special session.
And I would say,
next
that would be a lot easier.
It's been a number of years, as I said previously. I've been with the district now for almost 7 years, and we have never increased student fees.
I'm not on the student fees, I'm on the activity fees. And I, you know, part of the pay for play thing, the bottom line is we're subsidizing people who can't afford to play anyways, correct?
The kids on free and reduced, they are waived, their fees are waived.
So, I mean, so pay to play for those who can pay. That's one important thing. But you hate to make extracurricular activities about those who can afford it, so at least that's not happening. And then you reduce the people who come out if that's the case. And extracurricular activities are important for the rounded education that we need our kids to get. So I don't want to suddenly make it where moms and dads are saying, well, I don't want, you know, it costs $100 to go play basketball. You know, I'm just going to do the park district thing and pay $80. So I'm just going both sides of the fence here. And I want to understand what's out in the marketplace. For me, I'm always looking at what's in the marketplace. What are the comparisons of the communities and districts around us? You know, because that's the standard in which we live in this community. Wheaton's at a 10% coverage, and they're charging $30 or whatever. That's important to know for me. I'm just going to continue to ask those questions and
Sure. Educated myself.
I was fine with this last year. He came up with this last year. That's right.
I mean, I'm okay with it as well. I mean, I guess I would tend to think if it made sense to increase the fees, I'd like to see, you know, how that can be justified. And I guess that kind of goes to Joe's point.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, Lori was good enough. She belongs to a group, and she shared a student fee spreadsheet that is shared amongst her group here. And we're certainly not at the bottom, nor are we at the top. As a matter of fact, I find more and more districts are instituting additional fees as the years go on. I think I see a lot of technology fees. Districts are assessing $25 or $50 or $75 in technology.
Yeah, that's what I think we're going to, a conversation is going to have to be about that. And
so we have never done that, but that's what you're seeing. You're not seeing a reduction in fees. You're seeing more districts go to greater fees. So, any other questions?
Thanks, Bob.
It's going to be discussed at the full board, but the finance recommendation is to go to this. I would rather get rid of them. I'd rather just say 235. Bob graciously found me 200 on the vice president last year.
100.
Yeah. So I would prefer just knocking them off and not having it to 235. Let's just eat it. Let's find it. Yes, it's 235 every year. There's no administrative.
Well, I have a lady who one of her functions is to send out fees. Now, I will tell you, we don't chase parents for the money. If they don't pay us, it's not like we turn it over to a collection agency or anything like that.
Do we know the percentage of students that participate in activities?
Well, I just know that 220 kids participate in cross country at Hadley. I don't know overall. Or
Hadley has 1,200 students.
Hadley has 1,200 kids. They're probably 20, 30 activities for them to do after school.
We're running our cross country meets at noon.
And some of the activities have a certain number of kids that can be on it, like a basketball team or volleyball team for the IESA rules. But others are no cut sports where you have far more kids.
So just for fun, to offset what Patrick said,
right.
I would say I'd almost be in the camp of increasing the fees to the total fee, because you've only got a small group of kids who can play basketball. There's 120 or 200 or whatever the number was that do cross country. And I know, because I'm a parent who does this with hockey, and there's gymnasts and all those other things out there where those parents pay for all those fees themselves. So if you happen to have a kid that likes basketball rather than some other sport, then you get to put them in there and the school pays for it. So there's an argument to be made that we're subsidizing a small group of students at the expense of doing something else with that money. So I think before we say that we're just going to get rid of fees, we ought to have that conversation too.
Pay to play.
Yeah. And from a stakeholder standpoint, from a taxpayer's standpoint, usage fees are kind of the usage tax. They're kind of the ideal tax.
Right.
You're taxing those who are using it.
I'd rather see all that money and somehow help us if we ever decide to go to a full day kindergarten or something like that, to be able to pay for those things rather than cross country. And if a kid wants to do cross country, then they have to pay for cross country. But and I know there's some ideas for free and reduced.
Hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another argument to that mm-hmm. as we look at everything we should look at. So
Do we want to look at that? I guess I'm in this zero to 100 side. Either we get rid of it or we do.
And here's where I'm at.
Picking it up to usage fees.
I like to think I had unlimited time to figure out all these things and every line item on our budget. I keep going at. I started with the big ones and asked Bob a million questions, but at the same time, we have to be efficient with our time and Bob's time. So we're having this discussion. Bob's hearing it. Lori's hearing it. What is the marketplace doing? If that means this year we're kind of punting on this item, I'm fine with it. I want to solve every problem and look at every item. But at the same time,
I want to use the time a little.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get into the month of dollars.
What we're
going I want a philosophical question. Policy question. Either we do it or we don't.
I know. It's hard to have, though, if you don't really know the market data, you know, to me. You know, I know you have some of it.
And Paul gave us 10%. You know, mm-hmm. it's always a small stipend.
But numbers, like Dean presented, how many kids are in the activity, you know? Yeah, and when it comes to market data stuff, not to drag this out even further, but some of the market data tells us that our other communities don't have portables. Some of the market data tells us that our other communities don't have, that they do have all day kindergarten. Those are important market data things, too, and that's what we have to measure as a board. Right. Where do we get the biggest bang for our money? What's going to be the best value? So.
And to really frame the discussion, we've been punting on this as far as every year since I've been on the board. We have this discussion.
Must be an easy way to punt.
Yeah. we have this discussion. You know, some people want to eliminate them. Some people want to increase them. And we say, well, we're going to leave it alone for this year, and we'll talk about it next year. So just to kind of frame what's happened, that's been going on for the last 5-6 years.
Then let's bang it out and talk about it hard. But I think Dean's point about, you know, looking across the board of programs is pretty important. You know, revenue sources offset is $135,000. It's not a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. Not for a district that underspent a $47 million budget by $300,000, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In my estimation, I don't know of any other large corporation that would have that tight. To me, that's why I'm worried about $250,000. Could we find it? It would be cut. Something would be cut. My recommendation is, I'm comfortable with the conversation, but that it would be implemented in a year from now. One, we have time to notify parents, educate ourselves about the budget, the implications about the budget. I'm good with, because I absolutely see where you're at. But for this year, with it being February and me working, you know, our team working on the budget on almost 2 to 3 days a week right now, trying to find those pieces, I would respectfully ask that we keep that $230,000 in for this year, and really think about, because I also get what you're saying, Drew, that this has been a conversation for 7 years now. And are we ever going to finish the conversation or be done with the conversation?
Well,
are we getting parent screaming about this?
No.
I don't hear much.
That's feedback. That's important feedback.
No.
And I think we help kids that can't afford it, right?
Either reduce them or waive them.
Okay. And the other thing is with your budget, everybody else has budgets too. So if we're going to increase them, although we would give them, we'd be talking about next September, you give them enough leeway. I still think that's something you might want to have out there a while before you just suddenly double the fees.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you're going to need a good lead time on that for the community.
In our office, we're beginning to prepare for summer, or I should say spring registration, so fee statements are a timely discussion for us to have, because those statements will be going out in the next 30 to 60 days.
I'm fine with the piece right now.
You guys always bring the intensity at this finance committee meeting. Man, you got to have your hat on here.
Why do you think I come to this?
Yeah, this is good.
You have a number of
it.
This is where it's at.
You do a good job.
Okay, then the next order of business this evening is class size targets, and Lori Campbell will be presenting this report.
Step one in the staffing process for next year is to set class size targets for our gen ed classrooms. And the report that you have in front of you shows the targets that have been previously set, and those have been in place for at least 8 to 9 years. We're recommending a small change to second grade into third grade, raising the second grade level up to 25 and lowering the third grade level down to 23. So then it lines with our level one, level two, and level three structure. We are not recommending any changes to grades 6 through 8, and no recommendation for a change for schools that have not made AYP in 2 years. What we do with this information is then we apply our take our current student enrollment, and we graduate them a year, or advance them all a year. We apply increases that we know have taken place K to one at that particular grade level, because that's where we see the most change, and then we create our staffing based on that. This kind of information or these targets help us determine number of teachers that might end up being ripped, if any, as we begin our forecasting process. Any questions on the recommendation?
The AYP schools,
yeah,
that have for 4th and 5th?
Correct.
Can you tell me?
Lincoln and Churchill.
Okay. But should they have lower class limits because of that? Right,
grades 4 and 5.
Okay. Go ahead. Those AYP schools, that's for last year's grading, right?
They've not made AYP for 7th years.
Yeah. Right. And then we were thinking there's going to be another school this year?
We won't have that information until the summer.
In the summer.
Right.
The chances are very good because the numbers are almost unattainable by any school.
Right.
But
so
yes.
So we don't have to reflect our numbers in the new school year for the summer.
Correct.
Results.
Correct.
So
correct.
We're doing
okay.
Our staffing now.
Correct.
Okay.
For next year.
That's a good way, but
it's
a great question.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
In terms of these numbers,
yes,
is historically, have they been roughly similar to this?
Yes. Historically, the numbers have been what you see above, the 20 to 22, the 23 to 25, 25 to 27, and 26 to 28. We added that last bullet in there with the 23 to 25 students not making NWIC, I believe about 4 years ago, because we wanted to, you know, make some changes, try some things where schools were not succeeding as well as we thought they should be. Actually, that sounds wrong. They just weren't succeeding at the level that we had hoped. So that was one thing that we tried.
And if you would happen to find a section that was above that,
right?
How does that work?
That's a great question, Drew. We monitor the enrollment. Actually, starting now on a monthly basis, that monthly enrollment comes out. I've already looked at January 31st. I've applied this to see where we are. And then over the summer, almost on a weekly basis, as registrations come in. Part of the reason why we're backing the registration process up is so we can have, you know, more solid numbers heading into the spring. Then if we need to make adjustments, you know, like if, for example, if a particular class is at, you know, supposed to be, the top of it's supposed to be at 22 and we're at 24, 25, we take a look at it, we may come back to you and say, we need another teacher. All of that depends if we're within that staff neutral position that we've said we'd be in. But that's kind of where we start. Does that make sense too?
Yeah, I know in Churchill they've added, you know, what was the genesis of that? I don't.
That was the 4 to 5 years ago, or most recently?
That was most recently.
Most recently, we added an additional section at Franklin and at Forest Glen, and that was part of the implementation of the 21st Century Learning Initiative. Trying to balance out the number of sections. We're not recommending that continue and that those two sections remain. Our teachers will and our principals will have that kind of figured out, so we don't have to have even sections, that, you know, even numbers of STEAM and LA Social Studies at each of the grade levels.
So was it 4 years ago that they were trying to bridge the gap?
Correct. That's when the AYP change came in.
Okay, that's
right.
Okay. I thought it was soon.
More recently.
Much more recent than that, but maybe you're right. And we are consistent with other districts, our peer districts.
We are not far away. I mean, in some places we're higher, in some places we're lower.
But we're
in the pack.
We're in the pack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions?
All right.
Okay, so then the next order of business this evening is the 2014 classroom furniture and equipment bid. Typically about this time of year, I start with the finance committee preparing to go out to bid for furniture purchases next year. This next year, and proposed in this recommendation here, will be our fourth year of implementation of the 21st century classroom equipment. When we complete this, I'm proposing to do 24 classrooms this year. We're estimating that we'll only have 12 left to do during the summer of 2015. I'll give you a little timetable or sort of a schedule in terms of where it's occurred and how it's occurred and how it's been rolled in. This year, we're requesting to do approximately 24 classrooms at an estimated cost of $225,000. I've given you a real brief summary in terms of what the furniture is. Smiles. Additionally, as part of this 21st century classroom, we also go to our building principals and our staff if they have any other particular equipment needs that would be incorporated in with this bid. I've established a timeline here in terms of where we'll take this recommendation from the finance committee, and then we go out to bid, we prepare a tabular, submit it to you, the finance committee, and ultimately to the board for approval. The other additional cost associated with this is we've continued to roll out the carpeting that are in the 21st century classrooms. That's estimated at $1,400 per classroom, or approximately $33,600. So I wanted to give you a little additional information. This will be down substantially from last year, because last year we were bringing the Hadley furniture for the LMC. That was estimated at approximately $150,000, and also we purchased about $35,000 to $40,000 worth of steam furniture. So this bid this year will be about $175,000 less than what we estimated the cost of last year's bid. So I'll be taking that amount of money out of the budget as we move forward in sort of the budget season. So any questions?
I have one.
This is Kevin. Yes, Joe?
I think I had a question last year, too, when we saw some of this. I'm just trying to add up my classrooms. We're going to have 12 left, right?
Correct.
We have 16 new classrooms. Mm. If that gets approved, are there four going off this 24, because you have 12 left, and you're going to get new, although you're going to get new furniture in those bids, so then we don't need... No, the furniture in those classrooms.
There is no furniture in those classrooms.
So our bids for those is zero furniture. You're sitting on the floor in the style of the whole night. Okay, so that will be... Okay.
This will be reapportioned. We'll take a look at the building.
Gotcha.
Of course, the new classrooms is where we want to put our newest furniture.
Right.
But this recommendation is not based upon those 16 new classrooms.
Because you have to do it either way.
We have to do it either.
I understand. I just want to understand what was happening in the new classrooms. We only have 12 left, and that's 16 including furniture, which it doesn't. So my
a lot of the furniture is moving.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So some of this new stuff would move if those 16 classrooms get built.
And our director of buildings and grounds will work with the building principals in terms of where they want that furniture and how it all plays out.
You filled the gap ahead of my head. I just wanted to make sure we weren't buying too much furniture.
Yep. There's a good word problem, though. You're going to someone going there.
I didn't want to buy four classrooms too many.
I don't want to do that either. I don't want to spend any more than what we have to spend.
Bob, I have a question. Some of the stuff, this is that 21st century furniture that
you've seen in the elementary schools.
No trade.
We've been doing this for, is it the third year?
What we're proposing, 2014, will be the fourth year.
Fourth year. Okay. And I guess my question, it revolves around some of the less traditional seating things. The rocking chair and the bean bags. I mean, some of those that were coming into the fourth year with those, are we seeing any signs of wear? Are they holding up, as opposed to the traditional desks?
Yeah, I would say, obviously the kids love the teachers love the new chairs and desk and things. The Hokies they like because of differences in seating. They do like the bean bags from what I've heard, but we have had some wear and tear issues, so that might be something we continue to review. We're not locked into this approach in any way, shape, or form. So we annually review, and then the computer tables and chairs are incorporated into every room also.
My only question is, and maybe I'm not questioning this configuration. I'm just trying to figure out what is the useful life of some of the less traditional furniture.
And I would say that's a good question for like the beanbag chairs. We have had some give out. I really can't tell you how many. I have had comments from teachers that, I just decided not to use it, so I put it in someone else's classroom.
Right.
Or, there was a default that it's no longer functional for us or something along those lines. So we constantly review them. And if this is something that we were not to move forward with, we would stop.
And I'd just like to know.
Yeah.
That, if we got to that point that it's like, well, our the functional use of the life of this is 3 years or 2 years, then maybe that's a discussion.
We would probably move away from something like right. that if that were the case.
But what about the potato chip chairs in the Hadley Library?
Oh, we're looking to replace those.
Not
part of this. We have a manufacturer out looking at those, and there have been issues with them not holding up to our standards.
Really?
So we've had the architects and the manufacturer out, and we're working through that issue now.
The overall, though, this 21st century furniture is being well received in the classroom.
Oh,
I would say it is
very much
well
so.
Received. And, you know, by the parents, too, they seem to be excited about it.
I have, just from a personal standpoint, I have to say I've gone to Math Helper Day or this day or that, and it is so nice to have, when you're working with a group, have this furniture where you can put a six pod or a four pod together. I walked into a room at West, and I had never been in a classroom the other day when I went to the referendum session, and I walked in and I just said, how do these kids collaborate? I mean, if you have these old style desks, which half the kids cannot get into, and it would take me 40 minutes to get out of it besides class. I'm like, that's just me. You know,
and there's also the comfort factor there. I mean, you sit in some of those old wooden desks, you know, that we had and Glenbard has. These kids are in those chairs at times for a long period of time. So why aren't they uncomfortable? Yeah.
I went into a science class. I'm like, that's where you definitely want to go. But
no, that's a great question.
Just my anecdotal.
Okay, well, any more questions on any of the issues on the agenda here? If not, I would like to turn it over to Jack for a few minutes about to give you an update in terms of what happened. We went out to bid, as you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The bids were due back Friday afternoon. We probably had 65 to 70 contractors from a variety of trades in the room here. It took us close to 2 hours by the time we walked through all the bids. I would say I'll let Jack speak to the numbers, but overall it's encouraging in terms of what we went out to bid for and where the results came back in. So I'll turn it over to Jack.
Good, thanks. So it was a good day. We went out to bid for the building and site work at Franklin, the building and site work at Lincoln, and the site utility work at Forest Glen. All told, the bricks and mortar portion of those projects was about $4.75 million. 4.75 was about what we estimated for the hard bricks and mortar work for that. And the bids were comprised of about 22 bid packages. We had an average of about 5 bidders per bid package. Some we only had a couple, some we had 8 or 9. So it averaged about 5 per bid package, which is pretty good. And the bids came in right around 4.65. So about $100,000 or so under the budget for that. So we felt good about that. The reason we're giving a narrative summary tonight is because we just opened them on Friday and we're having to go through and meet with the apparent low bidders, go through the scope, make sure that they got everything they're supposed to have in the bids. And so those meetings, actually, we had the first one today at 4 o'clock. We've got a day full of meetings tomorrow, Wednesday, and into Thursday. Dave may sit in on some of those, more of the building systems ones, to make sure he hears directly from the trade contractors. We didn't really have any surprises in the bids so far. That's part of our scope review process this week is. And the conclusion of that will be a formal recommendation of the board that you'll have in your board package for a meeting 2 weeks from tonight for discussion. So that's kind of the summary of that.
We've worked with some of those guys before? Some of those that were considered?
You have and or we have in most cases. I didn't really see any really, you know, oddball names that came in from some location not from out of here. Plumber you've worked with before, I know off the top of my head.
Plumber, contractor,
concrete
guy.
So pretty familiar names, which is good.
Did anybody give you any ideas on how to go about things better? You know, a little value engineering?
Well, that's what we're going to get out of the scope review meetings to see if there were some questions. I know just off the top of my head there were some questions about casework, and we only got a few casework bids, so that's an area that I'm a little concerned about in terms of maybe a swing in those dollars. We did ask for alternates for taking the soil over to Churchill, and that could produce some substantial savings to the district, which puts a little bit more pressure on us collectively for a resolution to the access to Churchill, because it could mean, you know, a couple of good six figure savings to do that. And we'll learn more about that as we meet with them.
Okay.
And find out exactly what they need and how we can go about that. Those are, right now, that's kind of where our focus is to get through these, see if we learn anything that we need to report to the board or review with FGM and Bob in terms of details.
So when we get this in 2 weeks, does that, Bob, come first to the finance?
Yes.
And are we getting, how detailed of a report are you giving to us? You're giving us the three low bids across, or you're vetting that and getting down to one?
What we'll do is we'll give you bid tallies of everybody that we receive bids from. So yes. You'll get a report similar to this that'll show everybody that bid on it what their bids were. And then we'll give you a scope recommendation for each individual trade package that'll be summarized in basically a letter that will outline each of the recommended low bidder, any alternates that we might recommend, because we took bids for the additional roofing work at Lincoln. We took alternate bids for the soil. We took alternate bids for a handful of things. So we'll summarize that by trade package, and then we'll total everything up so you can kind of see where we're at.
And Joe, just for clarification, they'll be bringing that back to the full board in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So the full board will have that conversation and discussion, because I want to build it enough time if the full board wants to push it for a following meeting
that we're able to
move to approval if the board so chooses in two board meetings and possibly three. So we are going to move it to a full board discussion at the next one.
And I'm going to ask this question every time you guys are here. Wow. The permit process is moving along.
I'm due to appear before the ARC, the Architecture Review Committee, this Wednesday evening.
Okay.
So we moved from their ARC to their board for approval, and I don't anticipate any.
And our ARC is just a recommending group to the board?
That's correct. And really all is AR is to review the exterior landscaping plans, things of that nature.
They could technically send you back, but
okay. We haven't had that happen to us previously. We've been through this on several different projects, so we know what their expectations are.
If you don't mind, if you can give me an update on Thursday, I'm just interested. I'm sure you'll move forward, but I'd like to know. Thanks.
And the site permitting is moving forward as well.
Yeah.
And then the architect will submit for ROE permit, which will be, that's pretty much kind of a slam dunk.
Like they have a meeting tomorrow morning with the ROE.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we've, simultaneous to all of these activities, we are working with the mobile relocation as well. And there'll be a separate bid package for that the architect has been working on for putting out for proposals or bids, the work associated with getting those molders relocated either on a permanent basis at Lincoln or temporarily at Forest Glen, and the work associated with that.
Okay. Good.
So that'll follow.
Thanks.
So what's our, you know, sounds like everything's going to plan. What's our wild card? What are we worried about?
Weather. That it's never going to get warm.
All of us. I'm worried about, yeah, because it's on a personal level.
false advertising.
You know, the two things, I worry about the access to Churchill because at this point now we have the tangible evidence that it's going to be cost savings to the district. So we have an opportunity to save money. If it doesn't happen, the budget will withstand having to do it the traditional way, which is this soil will be disposed of somewhere else, and you'll have to bring soil from somewhere else into the site. But it would be unfortunate if we can't take advantage of the savings. So that, to me, is kind of a wild card. And then stormwater is a wild card until we have the permit in hand and we know exactly what we're going to do.
To Joey's point.
You know, so that's always a wild card. We've worked with Bob and administration here on schedule. The weather has been a wild card. It's already messed up our schedule because now we're starting, you know, a week later in the buildings than we wanted to, and we had a very condensed summer schedule to get out of the way and get kids back in. So what we're going to do is we're going to impose a little bit into the current school year and do some outside site utility work at the schools, which will greatly impact our ability to maintain the schedule. So that's been a wild card, but I think we've got a remedy for that. That's where we're at. So we'll continue.
All right.
So good.
And our intention is to continue to bring you updates as we meet a couple times a month, just so you have some idea of where we stand.
And just so I say, in case it does happen, one of the other wild cards is one of these contractors that's a little bitter, says, I made a mistake, and I'm going to withdraw my bid. That can always happen, and sometimes that doesn't happen until we meet with them this week and do our scope reviews. So there's not a lot of, there's a handful of packages out of the 22 where if somebody did that, it would screw up the budget a little bit, but since we've got a little bit of wiggle room, I think we'll be all right. And the contractors are pretty reliable that we have a low bid from, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But just in case it does, and you come here in 2 weeks, it's always a possibility.
I appreciate that, Jack.
Good? Okay, then, Joe, do you want to talk about IGA? Do you want to take a break?
You got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Well, I think we should continue the discussion. We can take the 3 minutes, but let's continue. You know, I don't know where you want to. In 3 minutes, it's hard to start and end. You know, but I think getting these documents is important. I can put some of my ideas in the email to you.
Sure.
I mean, some of it is, there's a lot of usage. One thing, let me just state one global thing. When you read all these and you read that one we're contemplating, and maybe I'll speak to that one first. There's one we're contemplating with 87. It's clear that we all know we have a facilities issue. We have the land issue. Yet, all these really speak to other people using ours. There's not much. It speaks a little of us using it. So, obviously, everybody else has the same issues we have. But everybody else is coming to us. And we're not really going to other people. So, I look at a balance, you know, scale. But it's not balanced. You know? So, these are people in our community we're working with. We're helping them. Quid pro quo is something I'm looking for. So that's one thing that I think, you know, a global thing. So I want to start understanding the cost, that the benefits we're getting of them mowing lawn when we're really not in school anyways, how much would we be doing that? How much are we saving because of these things? And that's a couple of the equations I think we need to look at so we can then understand those. So I can put some of my thoughts in the email.
That would be fine.
We don't have much time. I do think on the new one, it seems like it's a now thing based on the dates I read in there. So I don't know when that's getting presented to the board.
The one with 87?
Yeah.
You know, we started that in November, and just because of the holidays and everything, we haven't moved it forward. It's really just a renewal of an existing agreement.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
If it's a renewal of an existing agreement, are we rewriting it with the termination language now? Or is it just we're not terminating?
What I did was I told the attorney that we need the ability to have an out if something should occur, because there may be a building. Somewhere down the road, there may be a building program.
So they're using that right now. They're using Spalding right now.
They use it for lacrosse, soccer. I don't even think they use it for football anymore. It's just too far. But lacrosse and soccer, I know that they use it.
Okay. Well, ultimately, I would rather do like a one-year deal and not have a termination clause, because I don't want to terminate somebody's agreement. I'd rather just not renew it. I know it's the same thing, but I actually, in my world, in my mind, the termination has a different connotation. So my preference, and this is what I would recommend, is we'll do a one-year deal. And if both parties agree, we'll and when you deem it appropriate, we'll renew the deal. Instead of having a deal that goes on forever and only have a termination clause.
All right.
Bob, maybe for our next finance committee, we can just we can put the agenda on the agenda, and we get two of them. We can have more. We get more more discussion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for this evening's meeting then.
All right.
We'll be getting together shortly.